Man of God, arise as a PPK, a priest, prophet, and king. The priest in you will bring the needs of your family and community to God. The prophet declares the word of God over his family, and the king in you governs over all that God has entrusted you with. Join us as pastor and coach Gerald Benton encourages, leads, and teaches men to walk in their God-given kingdom role as a PPK.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Another day of the turnaround. God is continuously moving and progressing in this turnaround series. As you can see the title, I just want to go home. It was my place of my thoughts of when I got to a place of broken. I got to a place that I couldn't run anymore. I got to a place where it was just a real, real struggle. And I was tired. I mean, I was like really, really tired. I didn't feel like I couldn't go anymore. And, you know, it was that place when God was saying, you know, Gerald, you have a choice. You can choose to live or die. You can choose to go back home. You can choose it. It's your choice. And I've made that choice before over and over and over, but it was something that I really didn't do. It was a place called repentance. It was like, I wanted to go home, but I didn't repent, you know, really just turn my life around and just say, okay, God, I want all of you. You know, some stuff is like you verbally say it, but if it's not in your heart, then you probably won't do it. And I didn't do it. And I wanted to go home. And because this was the place where I've been back and forth, in and out, you know, good for a little while, then I leave. I'm good for a little while, then I leave. Good for a little while, then I leave. And so this last time was, I needed it to be different. You know, God had never really verbally said to me, you know, you have to choose life or death. He didn't. It was always, Gerald, you have a choice. He never put the life or death with it. And then the last time it was, you have to choose life or death. And I knew it was different. And so I literally had to do something different, not verbally say it, because I was used to saying, because I used to lie to my wife. So I can, you know, I figure like I can lie to God, but it wasn't that. I couldn't really lie to God. But it was a place where I had to make a decision in my heart what I was going to do. And I had to repent. And God just started showing me, you know, what he did. This is probably going to be an emotional one because it was a real struggle. And I started understanding the love of God, that he sent his son literally to pay the price for my sins, for my sins. And so as I was sitting there and I was, you know, pondering, I want to go home, God. I just want to go home. I remember just sitting on the edge of the bed, and I was crying out to God. I was like, I'm tired. I just want to go home. And all I heard was repent. Just repent, repent, and mean it. Repent from out of your heart. And so I was so broken and I was so tired. I was just tired of myself. I couldn't even look at myself. I couldn't even forgive myself. And I was trying to figure out, because this is what the enemy does. He has you to think about all the stuff that you've done, and he rehearses it, he rehearses it, and he keeps giving it, keep giving it. And it's like overwhelming, and it's hard to feel like you can actually hear what God is saying when you constantly battling the things you have done. It's a hard place. And so I said to God, I said, God, I repent. I repent for sinning against you. I repent for all the stuff that I've done, stuff that I don't even know that I remember that I've done. I just started repenting from it. Just repenting, repenting, and repenting. And so I cried for a very long time. And it was that place where it was like, call Yvette. and just tell her you want to come home. And I called her and she said, the door is open. The back door is open. Go ahead and go home. If you don't. That place was like. That moment was because I actually sat there and I just repented. I repented for all that I've done. It was a heartfelt repentance. And I felt a literal change from life to death. Because when she said, the door is open, it was like a breath of life came back into me. Like a breath of life came back into me. I'm not trying to cry, but my God. It was breath of life that came back into me. And so let me tell you something. For every, and we use the prodigal son. We use that story of the son, you know, just went in the way, did what he wanted to do, went to the work, took all of his stuff, left the house and just wanted to go and spent all his spoils and all that stuff. And then, you know, he had to, he got himself in some troubles and he tried it. So he wanted to come back home. And let me tell you, the place of the coming back home, that's probably the hardest place for the person that is trying to come back home. Because you deal with so much that you've done. You rehearse these things over and over and over and over in your head. And you think to yourself, how could somebody forgive you when you can't even forgive yourself? And I couldn't even forgive myself for the hurt that I caused Yvette, hurt that I caused my children, hurt that I caused other people. I couldn't even imagine. It was so hard. So those steps of coming back home, the conversations, the ignoring and the destroying finances, all of these stuff, the enemy's just like, woof, 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 giving it back. When I tell you, because I made the place of the repentance, it was the floodgates. And it is the floodgates that you get before you even say, I want to repent, before you even get to the repent part, because it keeps you in this place of shame. It keeps you to this place that you can't even forgive yourself. So you just feel like you just better off just staying out here, better off just staying where you are, better off staying in your drugs, better off staying in the other person's arms, better off just staying, you know, away, because you don't think that when you come back, you can actually be forgiven. Because you've really hurt someone. You've really done something to someone. You've really done some damage. And the enemy was just saying that junk over and over and over, over and over and over. You destroyed them. You can't go back to that. She don't want you anymore. She da, 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 da. This was before I even sat there and repented. I'm contemplating on, I just want something different. But the enemy, when they say a battle in the mind, the enemy is just, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're not going to make it. You can't forgive your, she ain't going to forgive you. You just damaged her. Your kids ain't going to forgive you. You might as well go ahead and stay right here. You might as well hang out with me. You might as well go ahead and smoke some more. Go ahead and drink some more. Matter of fact, let's satisfy your flesh. Let's watch some pornography. Come on. I want to get you back into that. I want to get you in your daily routine of that stuff. I want you to just stay into this place. And I'm sitting and I'm crying. I'm telling you, I'm crying hard. I'm crying hard. I'm crying hard because I didn't. I'm trying to fight my flesh. I'm trying to fight my feelings. I'm trying to fight the things that are going on in my head. I'm trying to fight. And I'm telling you, I was weak. It was like, I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't even think that I had enough strength to actually do anything. And so as I'm crying, I'm like, God, I just want to change. I just want to change. And then he says, Gerald, you choose life or death. Oh, wow. Okay, that's different, because he always just said you have a choice. He just said you have a choice. He never said choose life or death. That was different to me. I didn't want to die. I knew what the enemy was always telling me, that you're going to die. You're going to commit suicide. You're going to just fall out dead. You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. I mean, just telling me. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to die like that. That's not how I want to die. And so I'm sitting there, I'm crying, and I'm asking God, okay, God, I just want something different. So he said, choose. And so I had to repent. So I repented, and it was a heartfelt repentance, because I didn't have anything else in me. I didn't have any more strength. I didn't have any more fight. I didn't have anything. I didn't have it. I just didn't have it. So I was on empty, pleading to God, and God, Jerry, you choose. Life or death. I chose life. And then I just started repenting. I just started repenting for all that I was doing. Stuff that I remember, I repent. Stuff that I did to even, I repent. I'm constantly repenting. I don't even know how long I gotta repent. But I keep repenting because I know what I've done. I know what I've caused. Oh my God. I'm not trying to cry, but well. So I'm like, okay, God. And he said, call her. I called her. And she was like, door's open. And now here's the hard part. Is when you made the decision to go back, and now you literally got to walk back into it. Now here's when the rubber hits the road. I didn't really know what Yvette was doing with God, and I didn't know what God was doing to her, but I knew something was different when she actually said the back door is open, because my wife don't leave any doors open. But when she said the back door was open, that means, oh my God, something has changed. Something is happening. And I was able to come into the house. And when I got into the house, I laid in the bed. And when I tell you I laid in the bed, I felt like I was laying in heaven, because I felt so peaceful. I didn't even understand. I thought what I was doing was okay. But when I laid down, it was something totally different. Like the back door being open, laying down was totally different. And over the time, you know, she revealed to me some of the stuff that she was doing, how God had to change her, how God had to work with her. Some of the stuff that she didn't want to do, she did anyway, but she was just pressing her way on. She was trying to do stuff intentionally and all of this stuff. And so I'm sitting there. It's like this kid is just, you know, I've done all of this dirt. I've done all of this thing. And now I want to go home, and now I'm trying to go home, but I still have all of this stuff. I have all this stuff that I've done. I still have all of this hurt that I've caused. I still have all the hurt that I've caused myself. I still have all of these things going on in my head. I still got all of these habits. I still got all of this dirt that's been, you know, on me for a very long time. Whew. Let me tell you something. It's Luke 15, 11, and 23 is the story of the prodigal. And we all heard the story of the prodigal. But right before that, in verse 31, it's talking about the lost coin. And it says that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over the one sinner who repents. When I saw that and I heard that, man, I almost jumped out of my skin. It's like God just left and came back and got this one. I was that one. I'm that chosen one that, he wouldn't allow Yvette to give up on. Because it was, he's put something in me, and he needed her to see it. So over that time period of years, she saw something. Before, she didn't see it. She had to ask to see it. She had to ask. I mean, it had to get scales removed, had to remove her feelings, had to remove her hurt. But let me tell you something. For you to forgive someone 70 times 7, that means you got to find a place that you got to heal. Because you can verbally say, I forgive. But if you still hurt in a place that you already say, I forgive, but you still hurt, it's going to come back. It's going to come back. Something's going to happen and it's going to come back because the enemy is he's just crafty. He does stuff like that. He knows where you wounded. He knows where you hurt. He knows that place. But let me tell you something. When I repented and I came back, let me tell you something. I had to literally say, God, I give my life back to Christ. I give my life back to Christ because I was living a life without Christ. He wasn't living in me. I was verbally saying, oh, I'm a Christ. I live in Christ, but Christ wasn't living in me. I wasn't operating like Christ was living in me. So I didn't have a true repentance. But when I accepted Christ back into my life, I repented. And I repented before, but I wasn't allowing Christ to indwell in me. I was at a broken place. I ain't have anything else. I could not come back. Let me tell you something. And I'm talking to the ones that's, I don't care if you're a female or you're a male, that you out there and you feeling like I can't make it back. Let me tell you something. Repent and ask Christ to do this because you're not going to make this journey back. You're not going to make this journey back on your own. You're not going to make it back. You're not going to make it. The enemy's not going to let you just allow you to walk back into the things, the destiny and purpose that God has for you, your plan that he has for you. He's not going to just let you walk back into that. And he wouldn't let me walk. That's why it was so hard for me to actually turn around and repent, because I wasn't allowing Jesus inside of me. I wasn't allowing him to actually do exactly what he said. He says, Christ, I live in Christ as Christ live in me. And that gives me my strength to defeat the enemy. When you sit in there losing over and over and over and you keep going back to the same thing, it's a place of repentance. It's a place of actually understanding that you got to have Christ inside of you. If you ain't got Christ inside of you, you ain't going to make this thing. And so if my wife didn't really dedicate herself to Christ and dedicated herself to hearing what God says, the wounds, the hurts, the pains would not allow her to leave that back door open. It would have not allowed her to pray for me when I'm not even there. It wouldn't even allow her to anoint oil on pillows and put them on clothes when she didn't even see me. She wouldn't have done any of that because she had to have Christ in her. So me coming back, because I came back numerous of times, but I wasn't truly repentant. I didn't have Christ dwelling inside of me. I had me dwelling inside of me. And I was a charismatic person, and I can sit there and tell my wife I was just a deceiver. Or I'm tired. I just want to come home. I want to try it. And all of a sudden, I be there for 1 or 2 months, maybe 3 months. And then all of a sudden I'm back into the same place. Why? Because I didn't have a true repentance. A true repentance means I'm giving my life over to Christ. Christ dwells inside of me and he's dealing with me. He was dealing with me. And it was like, okay, now you're going back home. You can't do this on your own, Gerald. So you're going to have to truly, 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 truly lean, rely, and trust in me. And that I'm what I got inside of you and who I am inside of you, that I'm going to help you walk this thing out. And you know what? The devil was still trying to get me. I'm talking about the battle in the mind now, because I battled suicidal thoughts. I battled depression. I battled anxiety. I battled worry. I battled all of that stuff. And so all of this stuff is when Yvette, I woke up and Yvette wasn't yet, and she was coming home. Here it goes. I'm sitting on the bed and I'm thinking all of this stuff. Oh my God, what is she going to say? Is she going to bring up all of this stuff? Is she going to be mad? Is she going to be hurt? Is she going to, you know, where? Da, da, da. And I'm like, oh my God, now I'm getting anxiety. It feel like my heart is getting ready to bust. The enemy was trying to get me to feel like I was getting ready to have a heart attack. I ain't even know what to do. I'm sitting there walking around like, oh my God, she be home in a few minutes. Oh my God, what is my daughter is going to say? What is it? What's going to happen? I don't even understand. My mind is just racing. And I'm sitting there, but I'm home. I repented. I'm sitting in the house. And all of this stuff is going. And all of a sudden, the door opens. And Yvette comes in. This is like, she was like, hey, gave me a hug, kissed me, you know, talking, da-da-da-da, you want something to eat, blah, like nothing ever happened. When you saw, read the story of the prodigal and this young man, the father saw him way off. I mean, I don't know how old he was, but he saw him way off. So his eyes was on his son. His eyes was fixed for his son. Now, let me tell you now, he had two sons. The other son didn't understand. He got jealous, he got envy, got all of that stuff. He just didn't understand why his daddy was acting the way he was acting and treating him like that. And he went out there and did all of this stuff. And listen, your family don't understand why you allow him to come back. Your family don't understand. You know, your friends don't understand. People don't understand what God has asked you to do. You don't understand what God has placed inside of you to be able to do what you're doing. But let me tell you something. Everything that we do, it gives God the glory. It shows something inside of you that makes everybody looks like, oh my God, I remember when. Yeah, I know you remember when. But God has a testimony that you could be able to testify to them that this is what I had to do. Man, it doesn't even matter how long you had to do. I don't even know how long this boy was out there. I know I was gone for a very long time. In and out. And over that time, Yvette was working. God was working on Yvette. God was working on her. God was changing her. God was elevating her. God was just changing her heart. God was changing her vocabulary. God was changing her feelings. God was changing all the hurt, all the pain, all the agony, all of that stuff. He was changing that stuff. And so I didn't know this, but she was putting out prayers. She was praying for me. She was calling me something. Now, let me tell you something. Now, when I got home, let me tell you what happened, what helped me with this right here. Because she started saying, like, calling me king. If you notice, my wife calls me king. And it had to be strategic. It had to be something that God just told her, because it was something that triggered something inside of me that made me feel like a man again. Because in my mind, the enemy was calling me a little boy. In my mind, the enemy is calling me a loser. In my mind, the enemy was calling me all of these things that made me less than a man. And sometimes, you know, in our past, you know, I felt like when she would talk to me like I was a little kid. She would talk to me like I felt like she was disrespecting me. I felt like she wasn't understanding me. She was just, you know, talking at me, not talking to me. But she was just, you know, in her own place. But let me tell you something. Her vocabulary changed. The way she even how the words came out of her mouth made me feel like, oh my, something happening. Somehow. Now it made it easier for me to forgive myself. It was just some simple stuff that God had. What God had her doing made me feel a different kind of way. Just by her calling me king. When she calls me king, you don't even understand what that does for me. That just solidifies the king inside of me. Who God has called for me to be. My true identity. When she prays for the kings, I mean, it just seals me. Now it just gives me fire. Now it gives me the strength that I need to outwit the enemy. It gives me the strength to know that I am the king, that I do rule. I do govern. Y'all got to understand, man. You got to understand. You got to get the picture. You got to get the picture, because when they come back home, and let me tell you something, if God has showed you they're coming back home, you have to be ready. You have to be ready. And guys, girl, ladies, whoever out there, that when you come back home, that means it's work. It's some work that has to be. The prodigal son, he didn't try to come home and just get right back into it. I'm the man. Man, listen here. Listen, it was the place of the father that sent, that spoke this thing into him. He treated him like this, but he came in and said, I go out here and work with the servants. He ain't come back to say, I'm just da-da-da-da. No. It's to me, it was like, I'm trying to forgive myself. I'm trying to work my way back into this. This is gonna take some work. I got on my shirt. My shirt says, my marriage is Jim Strong. That means my marriage has to get stronger every day. That means I have to put some work in for my marriage to get stronger. I have to put some work in for me to be stronger, to be able to stay and be in the place that God has called for me to be. Man, this wasn't an easy transition. It was an easy transition. So I stay in a spirit of humility when I'm working on this place, when I'm back at home. I have to work on it, because let me tell you something. Pride to have me thinking, I'm back. I got this, man. Y'all do what I want y'all to do. Y'all say whatever I want y'all to say. Man, listen. You coming back home, and God has allowed you to come back home. It's coming back home to get it right. It's operating right. It's speaking right. It's doing right. It's staying in a repentance place. Because let me tell you, coming back home ain't easy. You coming back home with all of that junk. And so you need some help. Let me tell you, you need some help. You can't do this by yourself. If you sitting there thinking that you're going to walk back in your home and you're going to do it by yourself, I promise you're going to turn around and leave again. You're going to turn around and leave again, because if you don't have the ability to be able to say what's hurting you, if you don't have the ability to say, I got this issue. When you talk to me like this here, this is how I feel. When you look at me like this here, this is how I feel. And when you do this, when we do stuff like this here, this is how I feel. And it's not just about how you feel. Now it's about, okay, I repent for everything that I've caused you. I repent for this. So know your triggers. And you have to repent for what you have already done. What you have already caused. You have altered somebody's life, Gerald. You have altered your children's life. You have altered your wife's life. You know where y'all could have been 10 years ago if you had actually been in the right place. So you got to repent for that. But here it goes. If you don't have Christ inside of you, then you won't even have the mindset of being able to repent, because you won't even repent. So the place is, and people always say this, here's a good one. Well, my husband or my wife doesn't know Christ. They haven't, you know, they say they know Christ, but they're not operating in it. Let me tell you something. My wife had to understand, and I'm sure that she would tell you that she had to understand that it's not fighting flesh and you're not fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting against principalities. Let me tell you, these things that have your spouse in this place, it's not about you praying against the wrong thing. If your spouse is in the arms of another man or another woman, you over here fighting this woman and man and talking about them and saying all this about them. But you need to be fighting the spirit of lust, the spirit of temptation, the spirit of perversion, breaking soul ties. That's the fight right there. That's the fight. My wife had to fight. She had to go to the war and say and declare over my mind that he has the mind of Christ. She was praying these prayers, breaking the spirit of perversion, breaking doggone generational curse of lust and perversion, breaking the spirit of pride, breaking the spirit of entitlement, breaking the spirit of molestation. Breaking these spirits that had me out here hooked, had me bound. She ain't fighting against no person. She ain't fighting against me. She wasn't. Now, beginning, she might have been fighting against me. But once God started revealing to who she had to fight and what she was fighting, when she made the decision and God says, hey, would you fight for my son? Would you fight for my son? Because that's my son. And she made that decision because he asked her to fight for that. Not because Gerald asked her to fight. Not because Yvette wanted to fight. She did that because she wanted to please God. She wanted to be in God's will. God said, I'll give you what you want. If this is what you don't want to be with that, I'll give you that. But you said you want my will. And if you want my will, that means you got to do it this way. And having to do it this way, it's going to cost you something. My God, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some friendships. It's going to cost you some family members. It's going to cost you some gossiping about you. It's going to cost you. Because they don't understand. They don't understand what God put inside of you, what God has told you, what God has promised you, what God is indwelling in you. They won't understand. They won't understand. But let me tell you something. You stay strong in it. You stay fast. You keep watching. You keep looking. You keep looking from afar. You'll start seeing it. You start seeing it. You start praying the right way. Stop fighting against flesh and blood. Stop fighting against the other person. Stop fighting against the other man or the other woman. That's not your fight. Your fight is to make sure that you disconnect the doggone soul tie. It's to disconnect them from perversion. It's to disconnect them from rebellion. It's disconnect them from double-mindedness. It's disconnecting them. You've been called to disconnect. You want them to come back? Disconnect and start praying. Oh, Father, I speak a spirit of repentance over my husband. I speak, he has the right. My wife started praying this thing one day. She was praying for the mind. She was praying for the mind that we make godly decisions. The kings. I love it when she prays, when she starts. Y'all don't even get it, because when my wife be praying, I catch that thing. If I'm out running around early in the morning and she praying these things over my mind, she praying these things over me, I'm telling you, I go to shouting. Y'all don't even understand, because what she's praying for goes into my spirit, man. It lifts my spirit, man, up. It takes my spirit, man, to another place. Y'all got to understand, I come out of a lot of bondage. Your spouse is coming out of some stuff. And if you ain't ready to pray right, if you got all of that hurt still inside of you, you saying, I forgive. But in your heart, you ain't healed. All of that, I forgive, don't mean jack. Because out of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. So if you come up with something that's saying, oh my God, you know, now that they back and all of a sudden now you got your opportunity to unleash, gone. Opportunity gone. And you just might not get it back. So you can't just keep saying, oh, I missed it. Okay, keep missing it. Keep missing it. You don't know how many times you got to miss. Just like he told me, Jerry, you can choose life or death. I didn't even know if I took another step, would I die? I was like, I repent. I repent from all. I just went to repent everything. I repent everything. Now I got the event. I just started repenting her. I still repent. Baby, I'm sorry. Baby, I repent for this mind, this thing, the things that happen, these things that operating. I repent. Listen, y'all, man, I'm just telling you, man. It's, hey, you sitting there fighting something that you can't even fight. You don't even have the strength to fight it. You don't even have the strength to fight it. Because if you ain't tapped into what God wants you to do, then and being strategic about what he's trying to for you to do, and you just fighting this in your flesh, you just doing something religious, like I'm gonna be praying for him, I pray for him every day. Is it strategic? Because if it ain't strategic, if it ain't got God inside of it, then it ain't got no power. You need power to separate a soul tie. You need power to help a person out of drugs and perversion, lust and perversion bound. You got to listen. You got to have some power. And so you got to tap into God's power, because now you're trying to do it out of a religious mindset or out of a religious act, and it ain't working. When you don't see it working, you ain't operating in no power. And so let me tell you something. When this young man came back to his daddy treated him like ain't nothing ever happened. Like nothing ever happened. Get him the finest robe. Cut the finest land. Go get the finest food. Let's put it on the table. We finna have a party. We getting ready to have a party. Let your spouse come back home and then you throw a party. Let me see how many of your friends come around. Let me see how many of your family members come around after they done said everything that they done said. But let me tell you something. Some gonna come. Some ain't gonna come. The ones that come, some of them might be genuine about it, but some of them going to see just to be a scanner. Let me see what he looked like. Let me see what he gonna talk like. Let me tell you something. God, when God says he gonna do a thing, he does a thing. And when I tell you, when he starts cleaning them up, when he starts cleaning you up, you don't have no residue. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you something that somebody had to tell me. I'm telling you something that I had to live. God brought me back. And when he brought me back, let me tell you what he did. He brought me back and he brought me back into a right place. He brought me back a broken place. But let me tell you something. God started building me up brick by brick, layer by layer, and having my wife to sit there and talk to me. She's talking to me differently. Now I hear differently, because let me tell you something. It was one thing that I hated the most. It was about the way how I perceived my wife talking to me. It was my perspective. I could not see my wife's perspective, but God opened my eyes and allowed me to see her perspective. Then he said, I'm going to teach you how to love again. I'm operating in the spirit of love. It was a process that I had to go through, but my wife was going through a process also in the way that she had to speak to me. She had to speak to me differently, because she had to speak to my spirit, man. She had to encourage me. She had to build me back up, because I was broken. She had to build me back up. And every time she called me King, and every time she called me Babe, and every time she says Benton. So if y'all ever heard her say Benton, man, y'all don't even understand, because I understand the meaning of a name. I understand the meaning of a name. I do understand. And it does something to me. It does something to me when she says Benton, or when she says King, or when she says my priest, or when she says I'm my prophet. Come prophesy over me. Man, she ain't talking to my flesh. She talking to my spirit, man. And she ain't dealing with she's not dealing with flesh. She's dealing with the spirit, man. So when you praying for your spouse, you dealing with the spirit, man. You're not dealing with the flesh. You're not dealing with the situation. You dealing with the things that God has showed you. Because let me tell you something. There's a place, there's a time and a place for every single thing. For everything. I just wanted to come home. I just wanted to come home. And not just home to Yvette, but I wanted to come home to Christ. I wanted to come home to God. I was out there living the wrong life. I was out there living like a heathen. I was and know God and know what God can do. And I was choosing to do something totally different. Until God hit me with that life or death. You choose. You choose. My wife was praying for me so much, I was able to hear it. I was able to hear it differently. I'm assuming that God was always telling me life or death. But I couldn't hear. I couldn't hear. So I'm assuming that my Father opened his ears. Let him hear the truth. Let him hear the truth. Let him hear your voice. Let him hear it clearly. That day, I heard it clearly. That day, I made a true repentance in my heart, because I allowed Christ to be into my heart. I allowed Christ to be dwell inside of me. I allowed that. I was like, God, I need you. I need all of you. I need Christ to live in me like he lives in everything else. I just need all of him. I need all of him. And that's why he has my mind on the place of, I need you to not just, I always talk about that little band thing. Do, you know, what would Jesus do? He said, now I need you, now that he's in you, now I need you to do what he did. I need you to come out of this. I need you to speak differently. I need you to live differently. I need you to hear differently. I need you to do everything differently. I need your steps to be different. I need your body to be different. I need everything about you to be different. That's a true repentance. I don't look the same. And when you have a true repentance, you don't have residue. My God. So men, women that's out there, call prodigals, whatever you want, whatever name we give you, whatever it is they give you, whatever it is, listen, you can come out of this. You can come out of this. You can come out of this. True repentance. Allow Christ inside of you. Allow Christ inside. Man, listen. You are my Lord, my Savior. I ask you to dwell in me. Just open up. Allow him in. Allow him in. Allow him to do what he's been wanting to do for a very long time. He wants to allow him in. Let me tell you something. God is getting ready to change somebody. He's getting ready to change some things. Men, women, you out there, Man, you not, listen, I know it seems hopeless. I know it seems hard. I know it seems like nobody don't care. Man, listen, people are praying for you. They're praying for you. They love you too. They're not abandoning you. Not everyone is abandoning you. Not everyone is just talking bad about you. Not everybody. There's some people that are praying for you. Believe me, I pray for the ones that's out there lost because I understand being lost. I understand being out there in that world. I understand being on drugs. I understand the alcohol. I understand the perversion. I'm talking about deep, deep, deep rooted that you feel like you just can't never get out. You just feel like you bound. Let me tell you, you can come out, repent, and I, Jesus Christ is coming to your life and to be your savior. Because that's the only way you're going to get saved. That's the only way you can save yourself. And if you really want to be saved, you really want to come out, repent, and ask him, Jesus is coming to your life now. I mean, save yourself. You got to start with yourself. And if you're that person that's sitting there waiting, that's sitting there calling yourself a stander or whatever it is that we call whatever name you want to use. But let me tell you something. Stop fighting them. Stop fighting the other person, the woman, the man, the whatever, the drug. Man, you better fight that doggone spirit that has them bound. You better fight that person that thing that has been bound in that's been fighting their whole bloodline, that's been fighting their whole generation. That's what you need to be fighting. Get your mind off of that dumb junk. I'm serious. You fighting the wrong fight. You looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the wrong thing. God, open their eyes to what they really need to fight. Open their eyes, Father God, to the prayers that they really need to pray. Open their eyes, Father God, to see the hurt that's not even healed yet. They can't come back until you get healed. They can't come back until you get healed. If you're not totally healed, they can't come back. God is not going to allow them to come back. It's not. Because all they're going to do is leave again. And then they might not come back. He just might lose them. They just might be casualties of war. I'm so glad that God gave me an opportunity not to be a casualty of war. There's a battle going on. And I don't want them to lose, man. I don't want to see men losing. I don't want to see men bound. I don't want to see any women, children, your child. You know, it's like, wow. It's wow. Who's willing to fight the real fight? Thank you, Yvette. Thank you. Thank you for fighting a different way. Thank you for seeing in a different way. Thank you for your prayers encouraging me. Thank you for calling me your king. Thank you. Thank you. You don't understand what your prayers have done to me, done for me, and what they do for me now. It strengthens me. It brings me into a new place. Ladies, men, pray for your spouse. Pray for it out of a different place in your heart. If you got a hurt, you got wounds, you got to get that stuff healed. Please, get it healed. Get it healed. Come on, let me tell you something. The devil will try you. He's going to try you. He's going to see if you really heal. He's going to see if you're going to really do what you said you're going to do. He's going to really see if you're in a place that you can actually function. He's going to see if that's going to work. Sometimes you want to say, oh my God, the devil, God ain't, man. Listen, there's a requirement. Are you going to meet that requirement? 70 times 7? 70 times 7? That means if your heart is not in a place of forgiveness and you ain't healed, then you saying 70 times 7 or I forgive him don't mean anything. Because when she said that and she started loving me unconditionally, she started loving me when I ain't even, I came back, I ain't love myself. She was loving me. She had to love me back into loving myself. Literally, love me back into loving myself. You know what that looks like? It looks like this. I'm gonna treat him like nothing ever happened. I'm gonna talk to him like he's the king. I'm gonna talk to him like he's the best thing since sliced bread. And she has this thing. It was probably one of her tips when they look like you gotta look at them like that's your favorite dessert. Come on now. Listen. This is not a place This is not a place. I thank God that he chose to come back to get me. Who did he tell you to go and get? Are you going to leave him? Or are you going to help him? That's the question. Will you leave him or will you help him? They need help. They can't do it by themselves. And if you out there thinking you're going to get out of this by yourself, the enemy got you fooled. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And he'll have you thinking that you can get, you can do it. He got you thinking you can do it. And then you just out there doing it. I'm changing a little bit. I change when I'm ready. And then day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you still in the same cycle doing the same thing. Because you haven't even made a true repentance. So guys, ladies, come on. Come out. Come out of your cave. Come out of the bondage. Come out of the trap. Come out of the snares. Come out of the other arms. Come out of temptation. Come out of perversion. Come out. 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 Come out of homosexual tendencies. Come out. Homosexual thoughts. Come out. Come on. I find love somewhere else. No. 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 No more running. No more running. No more running. I bind the running spirit. Just running. Running from responsibilities. Running from your duties. Running from your marriage. Running from your children. Running. Just running. I cancel that now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you will give them the strength to stop and to have a true repentance. And let them allow Christ to live in them. Let them dedicate their life to Christ. Y'all don't even understand how hard this thing is for me. Because I know the pains and the sufferings of the ones that are out there. That person that's out there, the wayward child, the lost one. The lost one. But God puts a light on them and God shows them there's a light. There is a light. There's a light. And I pray that they see that light. I pray that whoever's called to pray for them and to lean on, you know, to help them literally helps. My God. I bind the vagabond spirit, just running from one place to another. Just don't even know where you want to be. I bind that spirit. I bind that helpless spirit, that homeless spirit. I bind the selfish spirit. The selfish spirit will have you thinking that it's okay to be where you are or do whatever it is that you're doing. That's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's time to come back. It's time to come out. It's time to break loose. Let's break loose. Help them break loose. Pray the right prayers. Please help them. Help them. Because I'm telling you, they can't do it by themselves. They will not be able to do this by themselves at all. I'm sorry. They need help. I needed help. I still need help. I still need help. I still need my wife. Because how can two walk together unless they agree? I still need my wife. I still need her help. I still need her prayers. I still need her calling me king. I still need her calling me priest. I still need her doing all of those things. Because it keeps building me. I came in on zero, below zero. But every time she calls me that, it lifts me up. It brings me into a new place. It brings me into a new mindset. It brings me, my spirit, man, is like, yes, yes, you're getting stronger. You're getting stronger. It's like lifting weights. It's like living weights. So every time she prayed those prayers of the kings, I go back and listen to them because I need them. Praying over my mind, praying over depression, praying over my heart, praying over my decision making, praying over my steps. Man, y'all got to get this thing. You better understand what you're praying for and why you're praying. It ain't just about, it ain't just praying to be praying. It ain't praying for out of a religious place. It's praying because it's time to go to war. It's time to help. It's time to bring back. It's time to take back. It's time to do everything that God has told you. And let me tell you something. Don't get caught into what other somebody else is saying. Don't get caught into the, because the people don't understand where you're coming from. People don't understand why you're fighting. That young, his brother didn't understand why his dad was treating him like this. I'm talking about blood brother. I'm talking about the one that live in the house. I'm talking about the one that said that you know that the father had two sons. I'm talking about that person. I ain't talking about a person that don't know you. I ain't talking about a person that's just your acquaintance. I'm talking about the people that's close to you. I'm talking about the people that you hang with. I'm talking about the people that know all your business. I'm talking about them. I'm talking about them. Those are the ones that you're getting ready to change their mindset. Those are the ones that's getting ready to change and say, oh my God, this girl, I know she's been praying. She's been praying for this man for about 30 years. And all of a sudden, now this man come back home. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, well, he ain't going to stay long. Or, you know, I'm just telling you the conversations that are being said. I hear those conversations. I understand those conversations. Because people are going to be people. They're going to be people. But if they don't hear what God, they don't understand what God is saying, then they're going to just speak out of their emotions and their flesh. And I get that. They don't want you to be hurt. They don't want you to be down. They don't want you to be disappointed. But if you're walking around like you down and disappointed, they understand that I don't want that to happen again. But if you're walking around like you got fire inside of you, you walking around like ain't nothing happened. My wife used to walk around school. Listen, let me tell you something. The people didn't even know. My wife is an administrator. People did not know that we was having problems. They didn't even know. And if she didn't tell somebody, they wouldn't have never known. The only people really knew was the people that she told or you know, a family or something, because they see me not there. That was the only way. But your work people and all of that stuff, man, those people don't listen. Why? Because God has put something inside of you. He's giving you the strength. He's giving you the strategies. He's giving you he's helping you with that hurt place that you've given that hurt place over to the cross, that you have brought it to the cross and you laid it down and you're not picking it back up. Now, let me tell you something. We can all say, oh, I lay it down. I lay all my stuff down at the cross, but let the rubber hit the road and something happen. Are you still laying it down at the cross? Or are you just reverting back to your hurt place? Because let me tell you something. The enemy will rehearse that hurt. He will rehearse that thing that has caused you to be hurt. I'm still talking about, I just want to come home. But here's the situation. When we come home, what are we coming home to? What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What does it smell like? Let me tell you something. That was very important to me. The door was open for me. I walked in. I felt the peace of God. I felt like I laid down and I was being delivered from the trauma, delivered from my hurt, delivered. And then soon as I woke up and I realized that Yvette was getting ready to come home, now the enemy tries to come back and rehearse all of the things. I'm already home. Now he's trying to rehearse what's going to happen when she comes through the door. So I'm just trying to anticipate the old way, the old thing, what was getting ready to go down. But when she walked in and she had a new look on her face, she had a new, like a whole new spirit on her, hugging me, kissing me, cooking, let me feed you, let me do all of these things. Man, that's different. That's different, but still. Not coming at me or even asking me about all of this other stuff. She didn't ask me. It was a time and a place where things started happening. She was able to talk to me. She created an atmosphere that was conducive to deliverance. She created an atmosphere that was safe, that I could tell her my issues. I could tell her my problems. I can tell her these things that had me traumatized and why I was doing what I was doing and what I was doing while I was out. I was able to tell her those things because she created a safe place. And she had it. I mean, it took her a moment. And I had to take her some time because she was doing something that she really didn't want to do. She didn't want to do this. This wasn't like, oh, she done made up her mind. No, man, she didn't want to do this. I'm telling you, she didn't want to do it.
But she always wanted to please God. And as she was pleasing God, she started seeing something different, started feeling something different. The heart was changing. The mind was changing. The vision was changing. The hearing was changing. The words were changing because her heart changed. She wasn't dealing out of a hurt place. She wasn't dealing out of the trauma. She wasn't dealing out of the frustration. That stuff was gone. It was gone. Because she gave it over to God. But the enemy always try to bring it back because I would end up doing something that looks like the old thing. And you can't. Oh, Lord, is it happening again? And then it was conversations when, you know, when I say I'm good or, you know, this or that or that. Holy Spirit was like, OK, you got to get ready because you're getting ready to go. You're going to have to go through this again. But I'm giving you the strength to get through it. You're going to make it through it this time. You're not going to say this type of stuff. You're not going to do it because you're going to make him feel comfortable. You're going to treat him like the king. You're going to say these right things. And he's going to respond somewhat differently. He's going to do it this time because you're going to respond differently. Because if you respond the same old way, he's going to respond the same old way he does. And all of a sudden, he's going to do what? He's going to run. And if he runs, that means he's out from under. He's going to run away from me. And I don't need him running away from me. I need you to look like me. So when he sees you, he sees me. And that's exactly what was happening. I started even telling her, I'm like, dude, my kids just said something today. Yesterday, she was like, oh my God, mom, you like Jesus. Once again, what would Jesus do? Matter of fact, let's just do what Jesus did. And she was, they said it, but what I was saying was, it was like, my wife is only thinking in a spiritual way. Things that are happening, things that she sees, things that she is trying to anticipate, things that she's trying to shut down, things that she's trying to cut off. I mean, in just an everyday talk, everyday thing. But it's so serious because it's like, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm a spiritual being, and I need y'all to understand that we are spiritual beings, and let's operate in a spiritual mindset because the enemy is always trying to keep us to operating in a worldly manner and a worldly influence. So let's cut off the worldly influence and the worldly desires, because that's what, when I said I repented, that was one of the things I was repenting from. I was repenting from the worldly desires and the worldly influence. Everything that tried to contaminate my mind, everything that got into my heart, I was saying that I renounce those things. I turn away from those things. Christ, I want all of you and less of me. I want to move in your way. I want to operate in your way. Ask what would Jesus do? I want to do what Jesus did. I want to walk like he walked. I did the other stuff. Now I'm in a place where I know my identity. This is the comeback. This is the turnaround. I come from out of that place. Now I'm coming back home. Now I'm back home. Now here's the real fight. Here's the real struggle. Am I willing to allow my wife to help me? Am I willing to allow God to really and truly work inside of me? Because the Bible says that he chastised the ones that he loved. And that was the one thing I used to hate for my wife to do, is to find something that made me feel like I did something wrong or I did something bad. I used to call her the fault finder. You always find fault in what I'm doing. No. I'm just trying to help you not to fall in the same footsteps or go down the same trail again. So once again, I had to understand the new language. I had to understand the new Yvette. And God was showing me the new Yvette. The new Yvette was walking in his image and likeness. Was it hard for her? I'm so sure. Because she was feeling like, why in the world do I have to do this? Why do I have to treat him like this? This is so stupid. This is why he just can't change. Why you just can't make him do this? Why you just can't make it? I'm sure that's all was going through her head, because some of the stuff just seems so stupid. Why? But you know what? God is like, that doesn't even mean anything to me. I just need you to do it, because I'm working something in you that's going to change his life. And what God was working in her changed my life. It was like helping me to seal the Christ in me, to seal my salvation, to help with my deliverance. I'm telling you, it was that place. It was that place. So I just want to encourage you to help them, to help the ones that are stuck. Help the one. I mean, fight. It's like it's a different fight. It's a different fight. If you stuck on the flesh stuff, if you stuck on what you see, get delivered, get healed, get help. I'm telling you, get delivered, get healed, get help. That was my thing. I came home, get delivered. I spent a whole process on just getting delivered. Then I had to get on to the place of getting healed. It took a long time just to get to deliverance, through the deliverance part. My wife had to help me. She did some praying. She did some laying on the hands. Then I had to get to the healing part. She was going through deliverance and healing at the same time too. We were both going through it. Did we get it right all the time? Nah, we had moments, but we saw it. We saw it quicker. So it was a healing place. Get healed. Get yourself whole. And get yourself some help. Because I'm telling you, the help is what will help you sustain your deliverance and your healing. Because the enemy is going to try to take it away from you. Get delivered. Get some help. Get delivered. Get healed. Get some help. Get delivered, get healed, get some help. That's the process of me coming back home. I had to get delivered. I had to get healed. And I got some help. My wife helped me. How can two walk together unless they agree? The power of agreement. One sends 1,000, two sends 10,000. Can your spouse, when he come back or she come back, depend on you to help them through? Or are you going to be too hurt, too wounded, too traumatized to be able to help? And then you ain't no good to God. You're no good to him. What good is that? Because all you're going to rehearse is your hurt. Here it goes. The enemy have you using get back in retaliation. You spend your time reminding them of all of the bad. And that's one thing. Yvette didn't do all of that. She didn't rehearse my bad stuff. Now, she got to a place where she made it comfortable enough for me to admit what I was doing and then actually deal with it, because that was part of the deliverance place. But as in walking around, I don't trust you. If she said she didn't trust me, if she felt like she didn't trust me, she didn't show it. And I'm sure she didn't. She had to go through a process of that too. That was her healing. That was her deliverance of being able to trust me. But I had to actually do stuff to be trustworthy. I had to do it. I had to get delivered from the lying spirit. I had to get delivered from the witchcraft. I had to get delivered from the deception. I had to get delivered from all of that. All of that stuff was causing me to actually not function right. So it's a process. This wasn't an easy comeback. It wasn't an easy, I'm just walking to the house and everything is glory and we are where we are. Let me tell you something. When you sit there and say, oh, I want what they have, please be careful when you say that. Because you really don't know what type of warfare that we had to go through to get where we are. So I don't want you to have this warfare. I need you to understand, get delivered, get healed, get some help. I'm telling you, because if you don't understand that get delivered and get help, get healed and get help, I'm saying the help helps you keep your deliverance. It's accountability. Healed. You might not, you can sit here and say, I'm healed. But the person that you're dealing with sees that you really not healed. You speaking the same old way. You feeling the same old way. You seeing the same old way. But your mouth is saying something different. Because your heart hasn't been healed yet. So get healed. I'm talking about healed in the heart. Get healed in your heart. Heart. Get healed. Get deliverance. Get your soul delivered. Not just your flesh. Not just your mind. Not just your eyes, your ears, your flesh, your body. Get your soul delivered. That thing that has got into your soul, has penetrated your soul. Get your soul delivered. If David said, oh, Lord, deliver my soul. Why you don't think your soul got to be delivered? If you've been traumatized, if you've been hurt, deep wounded. That's got into your soul. They'll get your soul delivered. I'm telling you, that's my deliverance process. I had to get my soul delivered from the addiction. That man, let me tell you, I had generational curses. That stuff got into my bloodline. That stuff was in my bloodline. So it got deep into my soul. I opened it up to my soul that it started taking over my soul. And all of a sudden now I didn't even care about what God was saying. That's how it took me so long to come out of the world, because I didn't even care. I ain't even care. But let me tell you something. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. So if you praying and you praying and you praying for your spouse, or you praying for your children, or you praying for somebody that you know, you praying for them, and you praying that you cutting off the ways of the enemy, you cutting off the things that are attacking your spouse, or attacking, you know, the bloodline, attacking the destiny and purpose. That's the place. That's the thing. Attack that. Don't attack the person. They just being used. Some of them. I was bound. So if she would coming at me, it wasn't gonna work. All right, so I pray once again that this turnaround, it helps you, because I'm sure that they just want to come home. They just want to come home. They want to come home. You thinking that they don't want to come home? The grass is not greener on the other side. People run to somewhere else to get satisfied for a season, and all of a sudden the enemy turns that up, and all of a sudden now it's something different or something else. You know what God has ordained is God has ordained. God don't make mistakes. God is not a lie. God is not a man that he should lie. So whatever he told you and whatever he showed you, if he told it to you, he gonna fulfill it. If he showed it to you, he gonna give it to you. So I stand on that. Pray on that. Fast on that. Joy, be joyful in that. Have praise in that. Because I'm telling you, in that place, you're going to find something and you're going to see something different. Because what the enemy does is try to rehearse all of this negative stuff. He tries to rehearse all of the bad stuff. He tries to keep you in a place of depression. He keeps you in a place of sadness. He keeps you in a place of your joy gone, your happiness gone, your harmony gone. Everything is just, he's stealing everything. Now it's time to get mad and take it back. Take it back. Get it back. It belongs to you. It was always yours. It was always yours. You just happened to give it up. So take it back. Take it back. Don't allow him to get it. And please, no, they just want to come home. Thank you, Yvette, for letting me come home. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your encouraging words, your encouraging prayers. Thank you. If you're that person that your spouse is gone, they want to come home, pray them back home. Create an atmosphere that's conducive to them coming back home, and then watch God work. Get healed. First of all, get delivered. Get delivered. Get delivered from your facial expressions. Get delivered from your thinking. Get delivered from your hurt. Get delivered from your pains. Get delivered from the trauma, the frustration, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the weariness, the tired. Get delivered from it. And then get healed. Allow God to heal you. Allow God to restore you. Allow God to work in you. Allow God to use you. Be a vessel that he can use. Be a vessel that is being healed and whole again. And then you get you some help. Help. To help you sustain, to help you fight, help you to understand. You got this. You got this. You are that key to the turnaround. My God. You are the key to the turnaround. God. Yvette, Thank you for being the key for my turnaround. Thank you for allowing God to use you as a key for the turnaround. Now, what about you being the key? You see that weight? You're the key for the turnaround. What if you're responsible for the turnaround? What if you're responsible for the turnaround? What if it's your facial expression? What if it's your pain, your hurt, your trauma, your get back? What if it's that? What if it's that place? What if it's you that is the key for the turnaround for your spouse, for your children, for your situation? What if it's you? What if it's you? No longer can you look at the other person and what the other person is doing. What if you're the key? The responsibility now is being dropped on you. The weight is being dropped on you. And you can't do this on your own. You can only do this through Christ who strengthens you. And if Christ is not in you, then you can't get strength. You can't get the wisdom and understanding that you need. You're right. You're right, Yolanda. You are the key. You are the key. You are the key to the turnaround. God is depending on you to be the key to help others be turned around. It's so many out there. It's plenty out here, but the labels are few. Few. Are you part of the few? Are you part of the ones that I don't want to be the key? I just want to be hurt. I just want to come home. They want to come home. Can you unlock the door? They want to come home. Can you unlock the door? Can you be the key? Can you be the key to their destiny? Can you be the key to help them reach their potential? My wife unlocked this help meet. Help meet suitable. I mean a key. You can easily be a wife. A wife is a piece of paper. But when you talk about a help meet suitable, you talk about a covenant. You talk about something that makes some real sacrifice. Are you willing to be a key? Are you willing to sacrifice your hurts, your pains, your agony, your weariness, your all of that stuff? Same for the men. We think that, submitting, the women just have to submit. Nah, man, it says submit one to another. What about that one? What about that one? So, yes, I have to sacrifice too. I don't mind sacrificing now. I don't mind. I love to see my wife happy. I love to see my wife smile. I love to see this thing. You don't understand. I made her cry too much. I made her hurt too much. I made her feel pain too much. Now I take joy in Mother's Day. I take joy in any other day that I can say, baby, I love you. Baby, can I get a kiss? Can I get a hug right now? Because I just want to hug you right now. You don't understand. You don't understand. That's my deliverance. That's my breakthrough. That's the thing that God just put inside of me to just, are you the key? Or will you be the key? Or are you the key? Let's be the key. Because they just want to come home. They want to come home.